Good morning, Antioch, Wichita. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love. Lord, we thank you because you are good. We thank you because you're mighty. We thank you because you're strong. We thank you because there's nobody like you, Lord. We thank you because you are the one that is our treasure. You're the one that is our hope. You're the one that is our stay. Lord, we thank you that when everything else is shifting and changing and moving, and there is so much uncertainty in our world, we thank you that you are the rock that is higher than us. We thank you that when our heart is overwhelmed, lead us to the rock that is higher than we are. We thank you that you are the immutable one, the never changing one, the always abounding one. We thank you, oh God, that when we look at you, we can find something that is more majestic, something that is more powerful, something that is more resonant, something that is more relevant than anything that we could ever manufacture. And so, Lord, we thank you that you would put your super on our natural. We thank you that you would put your everything on our nothing and that you would make out of us what you will. We thank you that you are the potter and we are the clay. We thank you that you would mold us, that you would make us, that you would shape us, that you would change us, that you would do something in us that would be undeniable, that you would do something in us that would be so life-changing that when people see our lives, our life will be a testimony of the glory of God. We thank you that we will become so transparent that when people see us, they see you. We thank you that we will become so transparent that when they see us, they don't glorify us. They don't look at us as some wonder, but we point to the one that is the wonder. We thank you that you are the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We thank you that you are everything, our El Shaddai. We thank you that you are Elohim. We thank you that you are Adonai. We thank you that you are Yahweh. We thank you that we have personal relationship with the creator of the universe, that you are transcendent, but yet you are imminent. You are above us, yet you are with us. And we thank you because you alone are God. We thank you because you alone are mighty. We thank you because in times like these, we need a savior that is beyond us, but that is with us. And we thank you for being Emmanuel. We thank you for being God with us, the one and true living God, that when all of the other gods who are the works of men, you are the Most High God. And we worship you and we glorify you and we set our affections on you. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27, I'm excited to be with you this morning and just want to share what I felt led of the Lord to bring with you on this morning. Psalm 27, we're going to be in the New King James Version or whatever version you have is perfectly fine as long as it's the Bible. Thank you for the courtesy laugh. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's too late. But God is so good. Psalm 27, we're going to begin at verse number 1, and we're going to end at verse number 14. Let's read the word of the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. In whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Will my father and my mother forsake me? Then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me and such as breathe out violence. I would have fainted. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There is a moment in our history that we are living in that is a very decisive moment. As I've been thinking through, praying through, living through this pandemic, this civil unrest, all of the things that came with 2020, it makes us very clear now that we need God. This moment that we live in, I think, is going to be pivotal, not just for the world around us, but for the church. This moment is going to be pivotal. How do we handle, how do we respond to this moment? How do we respond to all of the uncertainty? How do we respond to the fear and the unrest that rises around us? How do we allow God to be center when so many other things are vying for our attention? There's so many things vying for our attention, vying for our affection, vying for our allegiance, and there's so many things in the world pulling for our ear. The question must be, what will we give credence to? What will we, who will we, how will we listen, and how will we respond? I love this psalm because in this psalm, we see all of the elements of human life, the frailties and the facets of life that give us this idea that life isn't always cupcakes and rainbows and sunshine and wonderfulness. There are hard times in our lives. There are times when we don't know where to go. There are times when we don't know what to do. There are times when things happen as we are experiencing. There are times when things happen and we don't have a quick answer. We don't have a ready remedy. We don't have a shake and bake. We can't do it on our own. There are times when we don't get it right and we suffer the consequence. There are times when we don't know what the right is to do. And so we live in uncertain times with uncertain ends, and we have this scripture to give us a guiding point as David, who wasn't perfect, but he was pretty good. David, who did one thing right, he always pursued the presence of God. Now, David, he, again, did some other things, and that was for a message for another day. But one of the things that David did in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trial, in the midst of being in adversarial situations, he knew how to seek after the one who was and is our answer. Let's look at verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The only thing that can overcome darkness is light, and the only one who has overcome the darkness is the light. And so we must realize that when darkness rears its ugly head and we're surrounded by so much darkness, surrounded by so much brokenness, surrounded by so many things and so many places and so many forces, that we cannot look to the left or to the right. We cannot look forward or backward, but we must look up. We must look up to the one who overcame that which is trying to overcome us. We can't overcome it with three hoops and a point. We can't overcome it with five easy steps. That we must trust in the Lord who is our light. We must trust in the Lord who is the one who rescues us. His name, Jesus, he rescues us and he saves us. His name belies who he is. He is Jehovah, is our salvation. And he is the one who rescues us from all of our fears, rescues us from all of our failures. When the wicked came against me, verse 2, to eat of my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Why? Not because I'm superhuman, not because I'm great, not because I have it in myself, but I serve and I am served by a God who is bigger than my enemies, bigger than my strongholds, bigger than the issues of life, bigger than what's going on in our world. Oftentimes we want self-help, but we need spirit help. We don't need help from ourselves and just pick yourself up and do what you have to do and you can make it and you can show yourself what's right and you can be. No, I can't do it, but I know somebody who can. I don't have it within myself to get myself out of sometimes what I put myself into, but I know someone who is a great rescuer. I know someone who is a lifeguard. I know someone who not only gave me life, but also rescues my life from the pit. He says here, David says here, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, this will I be confident. Not in my looks, not in my ability, not in my education. This will I be confident. One thing have I desired. So many things are vying for our attention. Beloved, will we trust in the one thing? Will God be our one thing? Because truth be told, we go after what our heart longs for. And so, beloved, I want to know, does a heart long for the Lord above all else? Like, I know that you love your spouse, and I know that you love your children. I know that you love your church, and I know that you may love your political affiliation. I know that you may love everything else that is around you. But can you love Jesus first and preeminently and foremost and allow everything else to take a back seat to pursuing after him? He says, seek first my kingdom. Look after my affairs first, and I'll look after yours. Because what God wants to make us is he wants to make us amazing men and women. He wants to make us amazing spouses, amazing fathers and mothers. But oftentimes we're trying to be amazing in the things of this earth, and we fail to realize that if we trust in God and we seek after him and we go after his presence, in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Why is that important? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. In times when we feel weak, in times when we don't have it within ourselves to do it, we can find strength that comes from his presence. We can find strategy that comes from his presence. We're scratching our head and wondering, how do we make it through this, Jesus? How do we get through this, Jesus? What is the answer to our plight, Jesus? What is the answer to inequality, Jesus? What is the answer to our sin problem, Jesus? And so if I go after Jesus, I get everything else I need. But oftentimes, our hearts are so overwhelmed with division. We see multiple things that we're going after, and we don't realize that if we have vision, if we see God, that's why I love that song, Lord, be my vision, because what we see is what we go after. What we see is what we seek. And so, God, I want to see you. I want to know you, not physically, because you're a spirit, but they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. I don't want to worship you in a lie. I don't want to worship you half-heartedly. I don't want to worship you with just part of me. I want you to be my affection. So many other things give us the goosebumps and the willies, and that's cool. But what happens when the Lord is our affection? Scripture says, set your affections on things above where Christ sits, not on things on the earth. All of this stuff will wither away, but the one thing, the one God, that is eternal, self-existent, uncreated, the only one that matters. He is the one that should gain our affection. And so we see here David is saying, even in the midst of being bombarded by enemies and adversaries, I have one thing that I desire. I have one thing that I seek after. My soul pursuit, my S-O-L-E, my soul pursuit, my one pursuit is the Lord. And that is who I will seek. Verse 4 says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Notice, this is before the temple was built. So he's not just speaking about this house of worship. He's speaking that I want to dwell where God dwells. I want to be where his presence is. I want to be where his presence is. I don't want to be where he is not, manifesting and ruling and reigning. I want to be where his kingdom is, because where his kingdom is, there is freedom. Where his kingdom is, there is peace. Where his kingdom is, there is salvation. Where his kingdom is, there is power. Where his kingdom is, people live right. Where his kingdom is, selfishness is done away with. Where his kingdom is, he rules and reigns in love and justice and peace. And so I want to be where he is. I don't want to be on the backside of the mountain if he's not on the backside. I don't want to be in a situation where he has chosen to be absent. I want to be present where his presence is. Says, one thing that I desire, this will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want to perpetually dwell. I want to continue to dwell, because Jesus says, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Sometimes we try to bear fruit without abiding in him, and it doesn't work that way. I got to stay connected to the vine if I want to bear fruit. And so, God, I want my life to bear fruit. I want this one thing. Out of all these other things that I really, really like, I want this one thing. This one thing is to dwell in your presence forever, to seek after you and to stay in your presence, to seek after you and to stay in your presence. For in the time of trouble, verse 5, he shall hide me in his pavilion. This in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall hide me in the shadow of his wings. He shall hide me underneath. When everything else is topsy-turvy, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. So he hides me in safety and security. He hides me not in myself, not in isolation, but in the fact that I am with him and he is with me. And then even when all hell breaks loose around me, I can have heaven within me only because of his presence. I will hide not because I'm scared, but I will hide because I know he is my safety. He shall set me high above a rock. Let's skip down to verse 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, not just my lips, because it's often easy to say with my mouth what I don't believe in my heart. It's called lip service. Jesus said it very good. He said, you know, your lips speak well of me, but your heart is far from me. Your whitewashed tombs, you look good, but you are no living thing. And so we oftentimes get caught in the religious rigmarole of saying things with our mouth that we don't live out with our heart. And we must get to a place where our heart speaks louder than our mouth. That we go after God with our heart, not just with a cross and a chain and a Bible and verses on Instagram, but we go after God with everything within us so that when people see us and we've not spoken a word, they see something different than what the culture produces. And they see something in us that is resonant because he radiates from the inside out because our heart says, after he has said to us, seek my face, our heart cries back to him, your face, Lord, will I seek. I will go after you. Not because I want something from you, because notice what it didn't say. He didn't say, seek my hand. He said, seek my face. He said, seek my face. Don't seek what I can give you, but seek who I am. Seek my character, my nature, my whole purpose for you. Seek after me, not after the things I can give you, because I don't want just what's in his hand. I want what's in his heart. I want to be like him. I want to be like the one who loved me when I was a wretch undone. I want to be like the one who called me when I didn't feel qualified. I want to be like the one. I want to seek after this one who loved me. And because he loved me first, that's why I can love in return. Because I saw love and now I can show love to others because I've seen it in him. He said, seek after my face. And we say, Lord, thy face we will seek. Last thing I want to share with you is found in verse 13 and 14. It says, I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Beloved, it's tough times. It is challenging times, but we must keep hope alive. It is challenging times, but our hope is not in our economy. Our hope is not in our geographic location. Our hope is not in how much money or how much money we don't have. Our hope is not in who will be the next president. Our hope is not in our ethnicity. Our hope is not in even us as the church. Our hope is found in God. And because our hope is found in the one who sits on high and looks low, because our hope is found in the one who never has ceased to exist, because our hope is in the one who is eternal, immortal, invisible. The hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is in God. And David said, even though I'm going through a hard thing, I would have died. I would have fainted. I would have lost heart unless I had believed, unless I had hoped to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says, lastly, wait on the Lord. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. I love this passage of scripture because it reminds me of a waiter who serves and gives and seeks the will and pleasure of his guest. That I will wait on the Lord. I will serve him even while I'm waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. I will serve him even when I'm frustrated. I will serve him even when I'm disappointed. I will serve him even when I'm offended. I will serve him because he is worthy of the wait. He is worthy of the wait that I know that he will not come. He will not come after time. He always comes on time. And I will wait on the Lord. I will wait on the Lord and be of good courage because he is the one that will strengthen my heart. heart. Not the climate of the day, not the weather, whether it's good or whether it's bad, but I will wait on the Lord, because while I'm in his presence waiting on him, he is taking care of my business. While I'm taking care of kingdom business, he is taking care of my business, and I will wait on the Lord, and I will be of good courage, because he is the one that will strengthen our heart. He is the one that will give us what we need for life and godliness, but I have to wait on him. I can't be too quick to move. I can't uproot myself and go every which way, going after every wind and doctrine, but I will stay rooted and grounded and planted in the place in which he has called me to be. And even though it looks like a drought, I will wait on the Lord. Even though it looks like a tumultuous season, I will wait on the Lord, because if I wait on the Lord, he will renew my strength. I say, wait. Wait on the Lord. This is the one thing that I desire, is the one thing that I will seek after, to dwell with the God of the universe, to dwell with him, because he is our peace. He is our joy. He is our keeper. He is the one that we long for. And so I will not allow anything else to be my pursuit, but I will go after the one for whom I've been possessed by. I will go after the one who died for me. I will go after the one who redeemed me when I didn't feel worthy of redemption. I will go after the one, because this is my one thing, to seek after him and to find him when I search for him with all of my heart.